Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson.
Oh, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shirtley, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. Broadcasting live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. That was WIP Radio in Philadelphia the moment the LeBron James to the 76ers news broke. And you know what? It just occurred to me. When you read his big statement that he made on social media, he said this will be like the final deal that he makes. It finally hit me. LeBron James will never be remembered as the greatest of all time.
If this is his final stop,
and he, let's say he does 2 years, and even if he wins two championships with the Sixers, he will never be thought of as the greatest of all time. And the reason is because he's done nothing but chase rings.
And yeah, but, finish up. Sorry.
I was just saying, and when you take a look at what Michael Jordan was able to do, and that is the ultimate level, and I know that LeBron is definitely somebody that when you're naming the greatest of all time, his name is going to be somewhere in the top five. There's not even a question. But if this truly is his final stop, he will never be known as the greatest player of all time, simply because he will always be remembered as a ring chaser. I'm sorry, Ken, you can go ahead.
Well, the only thing, two things with that. The ring chaser, he will be the first to have won with four franchises, which is impressive. That will be thrown out by LeBron fans. But I think the only way he passes Jordan, if he stays 3 years and they three-peat and he passes Jordan in rings, I know it's a big if, but that would give him seven, right?
Seven, yes, it would. Jordan, it would give six. Him seven. Yep.
So if he somehow pulls off a three-peat in Philadelphia, Rich, I will give LeBron James the GOAT title.
Okay, I will give you that. At least then he's in the discussion. If he wins three rings,
yes,
when he's with Philly, then okay, maybe we can at least have a discussion. I still don't think that immediately qualifies him because, once again, every team that he's played for, he has stacked the deck. I heard Barkley say the exact same thing a while back, and he's so right. People who like are the ones who are the decision makers, the ones whose opinions I value the most in all this, all say the same thing. LeBron finds the super teams. Michael Jordan made teams super. And you can't take a look at what he's done. If this is his last stop, we now know, because we were like, oh, what will LeBron do next? What will he do? We now know this is how he's going to end it, winning with another super team possibly. And if he does that, he'll never be thought of as the greatest player of all time.
But you know, super teams thrown around a lot. Like Chris Bosh, what did he win when Bron was not there? Like, Anthony Davis hasn't won without LeBron. So he's made these guys winners. It's not like he played with a bunch of guys who had already won titles, right? I mean, who am I
But these were all max contract guys. Like, these were all deemed by the NBA the best players in the league by the contracts they got. So, no, I don't agree with that at all. I mean, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, they had never won, but that was a super team. I mean, it was like pretty much the thing that launched the whole arms race. Like, they were a super team. So, I don't think that he just has to get to people who've already won before. That's not the clarification on this. It's absolutely like name a team that he's on that you couldn't call a super team that he's won a ring with. You can't.
Well, I mean, I guess the Heat.
I mean,
they had Wade.
The Cavaliers weren't a super team that he was on.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving on his team and Kevin Love.
Okay, all right.
Again, but is Kevin Love like super team guy?
Yeah. Kevin Love was max contract at the time. He was a max contract player.
I just think that's a little bit overblown. Those teams were good, but they weren't like all time. I would take the Celtics title team over, like, to Ted's point, that some of those teams, yeah, roster wise.
Are you kidding me? Kevin Love, first of all, was a max contract guy. I know it's tough to think that, but but he absolutely was. There was not even a question. By the way, Kevin Love was a great player.
Yeah, but people you think people at the time looked at the Cavaliers as a super team back then?
Oh, are you kidding me? Absolutely, that was a super team. With Kyrie Irving, who obviously was, a young phenom, and still to this day, I don't think I've ever seen anyone with handles like him. That's why it was, if you would have seen how giddy I was when he came to the Celtics, I mean, truly, I thought that was going to change everything. By the way, talk about a super team that didn't work.
He hadn't arrived yet. I felt like he was just kind of an up-and-comer, and then, he became a star while he was there with the Cavaliers. But, you might be right. I just didn't. Kevin Love, yeah. There was a time in which I thought he was one of the better players, but I just, man, I did not look at those Cavalier teams as a super team.
Well, obviously the first one was not, and he didn't win a championship the first time he was there. As a matter of fact, that might be the one time we saw the purest LeBron, was when it was basically him and, oh God, what was the bald guy's name that was on the team?
J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson.
He had the Birdman. Birdman was on that team.
Was the Birdman Chris Anderson on his team? I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was on that team, yeah. He brought him from the Heat.
He was the Nuggets guy for a while, Birdman Chris Anderson.
Yeah. Love that guy.
Yeah, he got involved in some weird stuff that ended up being false. Like, he got his name slandered. Like, there was some girl he was dating.
Yeah.
And I guess that she said that he had on his computer, like, underage girl pictures.
Yeah,
and it was just
weird.
Yeah.
Are you guys surprised that LeBron's getting okay with the salary he's making?
Oh, that's stunning. I mean,
that's shocking to me that he would be okay with that.
It makes you want every time I go to the owner and I'm like, all right, how is Josh Harris giving him money behind the scenes?
Just a couple of like little side notes to this whole story. I find it fascinating that Shams reported it on a Friday afternoon, and he's only making $4 million in salary. Those are just like some side notes to this story that I find really interesting. I just thought there would be a bigger announcement. It wouldn't be on a Friday, and it wouldn't be Shams reporting. It'd be him, and the fact that he's only making $4 million. I just am shocked by that.
If only somebody like a month you said or that, a half you? Ago said he was going to take the.
You're right, Rich.
Minimum.
Take the veteran minimum. You're right, Rich. Yeah, actually, who was it? Somebody like scolded you for that suggestion. Was it? I don't think it was me.
It was me. I was like, no way he's taking minimum. No way.
But that was like, I think it might have been Windhorst or somebody was like, LeBron James is not going to play for
one of the big guns. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, it is. I think it's. I haven't heard anybody say that they were surprised by it, but I think. Yeah, I think guys in the cover the league were thinking that. Would be surprising.
That might be my most scolded take this side of the Gillette Stadium deserves a Super Bowl. That's the other one.
Nobody rocked with you on that one, but that's fine.
I'm rocking on that one. I think I would love to see a Super Bowl in a blizzard. That's just me. All right, so
it would be just you.
It would be just me, but it would be fun. But there's the Boston Celtics, I think, just kind of need to stay off social media for a little bit. I don't even mind when they're trying to make it look like the Jordan Walsh signing is basically LeBron coming to the Sixers. That's kind of funny. That's their job. But they did post a something yesterday afternoon. And I saw this, and I'm like, they're not really doing this, are they? And it's highlights of Mitchell Robinson. Obviously, Mitchell Robinson, a new member of your Boston Celtics.
But you love that signing.
I do like the signing. I do like the signing a lot. But all the highlights are of Mitchell Robinson embarrassing the Boston Celtics during this past season. It's him, like, rejecting everything that the Celtics did. It's like, him.
I'm surprised Jalen's not in every one of these videos,
I'm sure. Just like, maybe that's not the best thing to put up right now. Look
at
how
much it wasn't today. I thought you said they put this up today. I'm like,
it was today, but it was yesterday. It was 2 days ago. I don't know. I just saw it for the first time. Although there is a video they've just put up that says Jordan Walsh, defensive menace. And it's got Jordan Walsh.
He's making, Rich Keefe pointed this out, he's making more than LeBron. Yep. Jordan Walsh's new contract pays him $5 million a year.
A lot of guys that would shock you are making more than LeBron.
Yep, that is. Was it you who said that there's more guys in college right now because the NIL is making more money than
LeBron? Yeah, Jeff Goodman pointed that out, which is crazy.
That is wild. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls next. By the way, do you hate the Sixers team? I'm really wondering what the reaction's going to be when Jalen Brown shows up to the TD Garden. I kind of want to get your thoughts on that. And we'll take your calls as well. 617-779-7937. We'll be right back. Live from Fenway. 2 minutes. Jackson, I picked this one for you, buddy.
Always appreciate the heavy. Especially when it's Brazilian.
There's nothing that sounds angrier than an angry Brazilian metal band.
What a way to go into the weekend, though. Did you want, like, a lighter vibe? I mean, come on. Things are rolling right now. Red Sox are 15-2 this month. Oh, my God.
I agree.
We'll have isn't it Yacht Rock season? I mean, what is it?
Hey.
Three weeks
from now, the Yacht Rock review, I'll be there.
Oh, I bet you will.
Let's look for me. I'm in
By the way,
I'm in
Are you going to wear your like suit, like your sailor outfit? Because everyone wears those now to the Yacht Rock things. They wear like these sailor
I've never been to one, so I don't know. I don't know what the attire should be, but I'll...
Tarps off, I know that.
What's that?
Tarps off.
Tarps off. Yeah. Yeah, if it's a warm night out, tarp will be off, yeah. I'm excited. I looked up, I saw it was in the Seaport. I was like, you know what? That looks like a ton of fun. So I got us tickets for that.
It's going to be a blast because I know that there's a couple bands that are now huge in the whole Yacht Rock. There's the Yacht Rock Review. There's a band called Yachtly Crew, which I guess is phenomenal.
That's amazing. And
it's a great name. But I guess a lot of people, it's almost like, you know, when you go to a heavy metal show, you wear, you know the torn T-shirts and, you know, the ripped jeans and stuff. But when you go to a Yacht Rock show, everyone wears these, like, sailor hats, which is kind of weird. Ooh, like
I won't
captain's
wear that.
Hats.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think of Yacht Rock, I think of 70s and 80s. So, like, I'll be dressed.
Steely Dan.
Like, I'm back, you know, and I'm, 15, 20 years old again. Steely Dan.
Best Yacht Rock song, Ted, in your opinion. What's your favorite Yacht Rock song?
Oh, it's Sailing. Sailing.
Oh, yeah.
Takes me away. You know that song. That's it. That's my favorite.
There's no other answer, is there?
Is that pretty much it?
Oh, yeah. That's the number one.
Come on, guys. There's no worse band in the world than Steely Dan.
Well, I'll tell you, Looking Glass and Brandy. That's a one-hit wonder on some note.
Brandy. Oh, so good. So great. Mm-hmm. Although, I would have to say, is Baker Street considered Yacht Rock?
Sure.
I would think that might be the best.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep. Michael McDonald?
That's a
George Rafferty.
Yeah, well, George Rafferty is the Baker Street, but What a Fool Believes, that might be the number one Yacht Rock song.
That might be the number one, actually.
Yeah, without a question. All right. So when the Sixers come to the TD Garden, we were just talking about it. There's no better ticket to have this fall. I'm a big Patriots fan, but my God, the moment that Jaylen Brown and LeBron James step foot on the parquet, I just
might be
can't
Christmas
wait.
Day, right?
I mean, is that right?
Well, I don't know. They haven't announced it yet because of LeBron, but I wouldn't shock me. I think a couple
games have been scheduled, right?
Oh, have they?
They were waiting to make the schedule because they needed to see where LeBron was going. That was the report.
Okay, what I saw was this is the preseason stuff, and there is a Celtics at 76ers game. Actually, there's one at the TD Garden preseason that is Saturday, October 10th, but LeBron's not going to play that. I guarantee you they're going to wait. And I guarantee you you're not going to see Jaylen Brown playing preseason at the TD Garden. I feel they're
ready to grind. The process is picking up.
I mean, what's a better matchup in the East? What team? I mean, there's not. I mean,
well, Miami now is kind of interesting.
Miami and what? Milwaukee? Because Giannis? No.
Well, and a little bit of Miami and Philly. And then Philly and New York, obviously, are the two favorites. So that's going
to but I mean, Boston, Philly, because Jaylen Brown's with Philly now.
Great.
I think that's the best matchup.
Incredible.
So what happens? Is it going to kind of be like when Tom Brady came back to the TD Garden? Everyone's going to go crazy when he first steps out on the field. And then after that, everyone's going to boo Jaylen Brown. Like, is that going to kind of be the vibe?
I bet the Celtics do like a thank you Jaylen Brown package before the game.
Oh, of course they will.
Of course.
Oh,
yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Tatum will applaud like a golf clap.
Yep.
Over there in the corner like, yes. Yeah. Great job. I love you, Jaylen.
Sure. You're the best. They should just put his Times New Roman font goodbye message up on the Jumbotron to like, remember when? Like, you know, like this, you know, hope you had the time of your life in Times New Roman font. Yeah, that's going to be a great game to see. But I have a feeling now that LeBron's there, I can't think of a team that I'm rooting against more than that team. And I love Jaylen Brown, but man, I always root against super teams. They're bad for the league. I kind of almost like what they did with this apron to prevent this from happening. But the Sixers, man, this GM. That dude's going to obviously win GM of the year. The stuff he's been able to pull off, making Brad Stevens look like a chump, you know?
And here's the thing, Rich. He's been there for 3 months. The guy, Daryl Morey, got fired earlier this year. And the guy's name is Mike Gansey. He literally, Bob Myers is in that front office, but Mike Gansey was hired as the general manager of the Sixers.
Brad Stevens is also in that front office?
What do you mean?
Working for the Sixers. I mean, he's done great work.
Honestly. Like
oh, Brad, I'm like, wait, what? I got you. I'm a little slow.
It wouldn't
on the
surprise me if he has, like, equity with Josh Harris's private equity group and he gets paid off after that. I mean, I'm serious. There is going to be an explanation that comes out in a decade as to why the Jaylen Brown trade happened, and it's going to blow us
when
all away.
When it did. You guys realize he was just a – I mean, he was miserable here, and he was just making it worse. I mean, the longer you kept
okay,
him
– true or false? You trading Jaylen when you did caused LeBron James to sign with the Sixers.
Yes,
well, that's
true.
What reports are now. Yep. I mean, they're saying that LeBron was, wasn't going to go to the Sixers until, you know.
Correct.
Until JB went there? Okay.
He was not considering the Sixers until Jaylen Brown was a member. And after that, according to the reports, he completely changed his mind. Now, you also have to take all of these reports with the understanding that, according to other stuff that was out there from Kevin O'Connor, who's very dependable, that LeBron for the last couple of weeks, the reason it's been taking so long, is because he's been trying to get teams to trade for Kyrie Irving and for Anthony Davis, and none of these teams wanted to do any of that, and now it just kind of seemed like, well, I guess I'm screwed. I'll just pick the best of what's already established, and that's why he went to the Sixers. So believe what you want, but that's what stories were out there.
I'm going to say this for Brad's sake. Is Brad, I think, was hamstrung. He was handcuffed because – JB only would go to places he would sign off on. And so that limited a lot of where Brad could work, where he could trade.
But I still think you should have just not traded him. You could have kept him for another year. I mean, if you couldn't get anything good this year, then why? You know, Paul George isn't going anywhere. I mean, it's like he's negative value, as our guest said earlier. I mean,
that was incredible.
It is true. Negative value, just, this guy.
I was so done with it. It was enough already. Enough.
Well, you were like days. Brad. You guys just had no patience, and you snapped. And Jaylen Brown was not a bad guy. I don't know why it turned so quickly, so suddenly, where everybody just wanted him out.
I think he was becoming not a positive force on that team.
Rich, I'm rooting for the Sixers team. I mean, that would be like my second team to follow this year. I mean, we did it with Brad Marchand and other guys who have left here and rooted for them. Why wouldn't you root for JB to win a title there? I think it would be cool.
Two words, LeBron James. That's why.
I've hated LeBron. Like a month ago, you wanted him here.
Well, no, I wanted him here because that would have been the most chaotic turn of events ever, and that would be, once again, I root for chaos. But LeBron James is on the Sixers, so F the Sixers. Now, I respect him for this.
I respect him for this. He wants to play. He's taking less, allegedly.
You respect him for going to the team that was the most stacked. Stop. He's chasing a ring. You shouldn't respect anybody who does that.
Yeah, but
do you respect
would have said
Kevin
that if
Durant?
He went to Miami. I mean, you would have said that if he went to Cleveland. You would have said that no matter where we went.
I would not have said that if he went to Cleveland. I absolutely would not have. I would not have. Now, the Miami one, I have said, I've been consistent with this, is that he fits the most there. Like, that was like a real fit. And I'd be like, okay, I could give him for basketball reasons. That's why he went back there. This team is stacked. It's insane.
He's a good fit. You've admitted that already, that he's a perfect fit for the Sixers.
I think that he is going to be a calming presence to keep them from imploding. I don't think that it's going to work perfectly. I still don't know how they're going to distribute the ball, but he's still a ring chaser. Like, out of all the places that he's going, this is the most ring chaseriest of the most ring chaseriest. This
more
is
than,
Kevin
Durant.
Boy, I don't know, because won a championship. That's the biggest. Durant's the biggest. But this is still enormous. Like, this is an enormous ring-chasing situation, without a question. That's why he will never be the greatest of all time. Never. He'll be known for being a ring chaser and for all of his teams being stacked and him stacking the teams. So if you want to give him best GM, although this case it wasn't him, all those other teams, he was basically the GM. He kind of put everything in motion and got all the trades done. He forced the Kevin Love thing with the Cavaliers. He definitely, when he ended up, he brought Anthony Davis out to Los Angeles, and God knows what he did with Chris Bosh and, of course, hooking up with Dwayne Wade. He is an orchestrator like no other orchestrator. Mm-hmm. Give him the GM of all time. But that dude will never be remembered as the greatest player of all time, no matter what he does with the Sixers, because he will always be a ring chaser.
Now, our guest from Philly, WIP, they were talking about it's going to be a movie every night. Do you think he actually will have, like, film crews, like, on set? And
yeah.
You know Jaylen will.
Because this is last year.
So that will be nutty. They'll have a bunch of media coverage. Like,
It's not just that. LeBron has announced he's making a documentary about this year. He's been filming all of this. Like, that's not a secret. It's been an it's by Rich Paul and his guys that all of this, his decision between all of them, where he's sitting and there's that board where they've been circling and everything, like this is all being filmed for a documentary. A boy, what a masturbatory thing this is going to be. Oh, made by LeBron James, produced by LeBron James, about how great LeBron James is at being LeBron James.
That's why this team's going to just, they're going to go down in a blaze of glory because of stuff like this.
Well, if Tatum takes him out, God, that will boost his stock big time.
Big time.
Big league.
This is a great opportunity for Jason Tatum.
It is. You're right about that.
Well, I like what that caller said earlier. There's no better season for Jason Tatum to be an MVP. This is it. You're the guy. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Let's go, Ugo.
Yeah, yes, Ugo. Take us to the promised land because that's where the line was drawn. 617.
Do you think someday they'll say, like, Jordan and Pippen, Tatum and Ugo? Like, they'll be in the same breath? You know?
There's no question. It'll be like, you know, Shaq and Kobe, some of the best pairs in basketball history. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back, 617-779-7937. Let's talk a little Sox, baby. Trade deadline coming up. Streak number two begins this evening as we broadcast live from Fenway Park.
We just won 15 games in a row, and I think all of us knew that, like, that's going to end at some point. It just happened to end tonight, so they're already refocused. I wanted to go in and talk to the team, and Sonny and Wilson were already handling it. I'll leave that message for in there. The focus is there now on, you know, that's behind us, and the big thing is if we continue to play baseball that way, regardless of how many wins in a row, like, we're going to win a heck of a lot more than we lose. So that's the focus now. But, no, I think everybody knew, like, it's going to end at some point. It happened to end tonight, and now we got to refocus.
That's our guy, Chad Tracy, the one that we saw first interview we did with him. We're like, this is the guy that's going to put him on a 15-game winning streak, turn things around. We didn't exactly say that, but we knew that he was a quality manager and that everything would eventually get turned around. What's more impressive, what Chad Tracy did or what the GM of the Sixers did? Because both of them did it in no time flat.
Sixers GM got a gift. Tracy had to work for it. I mean, he was on, what's that app he was on twice? Giving the team a message, Teamwork?
Yeah, Teamwork's app. On their website, it doesn't work, so I don't know.
You have to have an account.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think it is. You have to have, like, a gold card.
Okay.
But by the way, Rich, the last time we have Toronto fans lined up outside the studio here, last time Toronto was in town in June, you got swept by this team, 6-1, 3-0, and 4-3. So hopefully it's better this time around.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, hopefully. I mean, God knows that they're trending in that direction, but it'll be a nice little measuring stick. It is going to be cool to see because I think all of us believe that this team is way more like the team that we've seen over the last several weeks than they were at the beginning of the season. But, you know, there is still that, well, show me. We know that these are mostly the same guys. Let's hope they don't fall back into their bad habits. And I think that Chad Tracy is a major part of why they were able to make that big turn. By the way, you can call us at 617-779-7937. What was that, Ted? Were you going to say something?
I was going to say, just speaking of that, I was looking back at that series. You were 1-for-19 with runners in scoring position in the Toronto series. You sunk to 14 games under, lowest point of the year. Mm. And you're right, Rich, it's the same team. So is it? There's no chance they go back to being that team, right? And this was a fluke? You can't have a fluky 15-game winning streak, can you?
I don't believe so. Because, you know, it's also the technical stuff. It's the stuff we've talked about, you know, now that the driveline guy is gone. Apparently, according to, you know, everything we've read, they're smarter at the plate. They're taking more walks. You know, they're better at bunting.
They show up later. They don't show up till like 6 o'clock.
Right. They don't waste time anymore. No, but it is. I feel like they philosophically have an identity on offense. Like, they know what they are on offense. Where back then, I don't think they knew what they were. I mean, they move guys around, they sacrifice flies, they bunt, they steal, they do all that stuff small ball teams do, and that they never did at the start of the season.
This is an interesting nugget from Bob Nightingale, who has been on the show several times from USA Today. It's weird. Like, outside of Bob Nightingale, I can't think of anything from USA Today other than bright colors and big fonts. it's kind of like a news.
It made me happy. Every time I saw it in the hotel lobby, I loved USA
weird.
Today.
I had the same reaction.
I don't even think I read the paper. I just got it and wanted to, like, look at it.
Wow, red ink.
Yeah, it was
so weird.
Look at that. It's cool. Comic page.
It's words you don't have to look up. in a dictionary. It's basically you could be hit in the head with a shovel 10 times and pick up a USA Today and completely understand what they're saying, which is good. But Bob Nightingale's great, and he's obviously very, very plugged in. But he's essentially confirming something that for a while now has been a rumor that's been floating out there. He said that the Red Sox now plan to be aggressive buyers. And then he said they've got plenty of money in the coffers after unloading Rafael Devers last summer and have no hesitancy in acquiring big stars. And this is where he confirms something that's been around for a long, long time. He said they made attempts to acquire Angels center fielder Mike Trout in the past. And this time they have their eyes on Angels shortstop, Zach Neto, and then C.J. Abrams for the Washington Nationals. So basically he's confirming that Mike Trout was a real thing that the Red Sox were going after. Now, I don't know what you would have to give up to get Mike Trout. And Mike Trout, I'm positive, has a no-trade clause, and I don't know
he does.
If
In
he
fact,
would come
they asked
here.
Him if he wanted to go to Philly, his hometown, over the All-Star break, and he said no, or basically, I mean, kind of hinted that he would not do it.
Soft.
But do you believe they were? I mean, because this is interest Kings Red Sox again.
I don't.
They've said that so many times that we were in on Shohei. You know, okay,
would that have made sense? Mike Trout on this team, this young team of just young 4A guys and up and comers.
Well, can we go back real quick to
the small ball team?
Well, Ted, let's go back to when it was Buster Olney who came on our show and said that even ownership had started making calls about getting a bat in here. And couldn't you see there being a conversation about the fans hate us now. We need to get a star in here, somebody that will make us the story of Major League Baseball, that will get people to love us again, you know, someone we can put on the commercials, because that may have been after Roman Anthony was injured. And so the guy who sold the most jerseys in Fenway Park was going to be nowhere to be found for a while, and they needed to save face in some sort of way. And what better way to do it than to make a gigantic splash?
I mean, it just could have been the owners, the two owners, John Henry and the owner of the Anaheim Angels, talking at the owners' meeting about a deal, and now it's like being reported as they were in pursuit of Mike Trout, which I think is – I think you see it happening that way and it being just overblown and not that –
we'll offer you Marcelo Meyer for Mike Trout. Well, see, we tried. We were in on it.
Right.
And there's this great pitcher we have named Brian Bayo that you might really, really
he's
like.
He's a fixer-upper. Yeah.
He's like an old Volkswagen. You know, give him a little love, and we'll see what he can do.
I mean, you know teams do that, right? I mean, do we think were the Celtics really in on Giannis? Were they really in?
Well, I do believe that.
Okay, well, so a lot of people don't. A lot of people think it was just a ruse. I mean, I think teams act like they're interested in players.
Now, Juan Soto, I don't know.
When they have no real intention of making a trade.
Were they going to pay Juan Soto $700 million? I don't know. They said they were.
Let's go to Wally on line one. Wally, what's happening, buddy? How you doing?
We dropped him.
Oh, we got Wally. Okay. I'll take a call from anyone named Wally. I just love that name.
Oh, Wally's the man. He's a longtime caller. Red Sox.
Oh, is he? Oh,
passionate Sox, man.
I love it.
By the way, I was looking up these numbers. I think it was Spear who had this in the Globe this morning. Sox are the 39th team in MLB history to be 14 down and get back to 500. 20 of those teams went on to finish over 500. Only three have made the postseason after being 14 games under during a season. Last team to do it was the 05 Astros. So this is historic if you can keep this playoff pace up right now. That's the company you're in. Pretty impressive.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
They were the third wild card team last year and had 87 wins.
Mm-hmm.
How many wins they're going to have? If they go 500 from this point in, they're basically around 83, 84 wins.
I mean, the AL is so bad that could get it done.
That's what I'm saying. It could probably, because the AL is as bad as it is, I can see history repeating itself.
Yeah, right now, Seattle's 51-52, and they're two games out of the wild card.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, this is going to be interesting with Craig Breslow. He talked earlier about what their plan is coming up, and I don't know what to make of it, because right now it just kind of seems like it's all over the place. And Ted, you and I seem to have the same idea of how we think this is all going to end. And if it does end that way, I don't know how much of a pass you can give Craig Breslow, despite the things that we've all had to kind of sit and eat, like some humble pie on, like firing Alex Cora and some of these signings and moves that he made that ended up, paying off here in this stretch. So let's play that clip when we get back next. Craig Breslow talks about where his head is at, what kind of moves he's going to make, what kind of player he's looking for, and apparently it's not Mike Trout, according to what we're hearing from Bob Nightingale, but we'll get to that right after this. Oh, there you go, Teddy J.
Listen to that. Listen to the vibes. Just
weird.
Through. Oh, man.
Takes me back to my time and place, right? Music does. Beach. Wine Tropic.
Chris Cross said this was a song about his father, by the way. He gets deep on the meaning of the song. You wouldn't admit that for a while, but it was about him and his dad having a bad relationship and, like, a cool story, you know?
Yeah, great song. Question. Is Christopher Cross the best-looking musician of all time?
No, what?
Yeah. I mean, when you think Dreamboat Hunk from the early 80s, I really think the first person you think of is Christopher Cross. If you don't know what I'm talking about,
he looks like ladies, me with some hair.
I'm going to have to Google this now. Now I'm curious.
I would Google him because, ladies, if you Google him, just know you might need to sit on a towel first because Christopher Cross has all the good looks. Just make sure you're ready for all the machismo. 617-779.
Oh, wow. That doesn't matter. When the music speaks for yourself. You know,
7937. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson. And you know what we're going to do? Something that I rarely do, and that's like pay off my tees. I said that Craig Breslow was talking about what he's going to end up doing here at the trade deadline. Stiz, let that son of a bitch roll.
Well, I guess, like, you know, starting with pitching, our pitching has carried a bulk of the weight for most of season. We need to be mindful of the workload demands that we're putting on some of our younger guys, but also hope that we can balance that out with guys getting healthy. But I don't think there's anyone who would sit in this seat and, you know, try to make a deep postseason run and say that, you know, they wouldn't explore opportunities to upgrade, upgrade the bullpen, especially because the bullpen is so important in the postseason. And then I think when you look at our position player group, there's no secret that we've struggled to score runs at times. And, recently I think we've seen some signs of life in the approach and the damage that we're able to do, and players deserve a ton of credit for that, and our coaching staff deserves a ton of credit for that. But I think our position player group has a ton of flexibility because a bunch of our infielders can move around the diamond, a bunch of our corner outfielders are capable of playing center field. If we look to upgrade offensively, I don't think we have to pinpoint a particular position in order to make that improvement.
Okay. Ken, what do you make of his a very vague plan that they
BBA,
seem to have going forward?
Best bat available. That's what he's saying. I don't care what position. We're going to go for the best deal, the best bat we can, and we can put him anywhere. We can put him at DH. We can move our shortstop to second to short, left fielder to DH, whatever it is, we'll find a way to fit him in.
Do you think that's the right way to approach it?
Yes. Okay. Because if you can get Byron Buxton from the Twins, I'm in. If you can get Jeremy Pena from the Astros, I'll take him. If the catcher's the best thing, Shea Langeliers or Hunter Goodman, let's go. Whatever Brez can pull off. You're right, Rich, he's not very good at the trade deadline for some reason. It's been a block for him. But just help get Theo to help, whatever it is that you need to get it done, let's get a bat in here.
All right, Teddy J, I need to get your take on this. I'm going to do the Ken Laird pivot. I'm drastically going from one sport to a different one, like boom, boom, boom. But I need to get your take on this. This was weird. I had no idea this was happening until I read this quote from Mike Vrabel, and I'm like, hang on, who did he just say?
Yeah, I thought the same thing when I heard it.
Okay, let's let this clip roll. This is Mike Vrabel throwing out a name that honestly, it made me do a double take. Let's let it roll.
You know, DeAndre Hopkins is here with us, kind of in a, you know, just to kind of check things out as far as what he wants to do as far as coaching, and you'll see him on the field and whether that's personnel. And so I use him as an example because he wasn't the fastest receiver, but he had an unbelievable play style and a play strength and a route craft that allowed him to succeed.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins? What is going on, Ted?
Yeah, I was shocked. I thought, wait a minute. We signed DeAndre Hopkins? No, he's just here as a consultant for a coach. So I guess he's officially retired. I mean, he played for Baltimore last year. He played in 17 games for Baltimore.
Well, he said a month ago he still has a lot of ball left. So
yeah, I mean,
I don't think he's retired.
I was in Houston when he got drafted there in 2013, And he was incredible. I mean, he was absolutely incredible. And Mike was there in Houston for a few years, obviously, as the linebackers coach and the D coordinator. So he's got a familiarity with him there. And then, of course, D-Hop played in Tennessee for him, I believe, for a little bit. But D-Hop's, I love his game. I love that he's here. I like that an accomplished player like DeAndre Hopkins is here helping out, consulting. Just for the younger guys to be around a player like that, I think is very, very valuable. And, you know, maybe this, you know, I like the Patriots kind of attracting guys like this as their coaches. You know, I think that's a good thing.
Hell yeah. And did you, when like the time you were down there when he was in Houston, did you get any kind of sense as to whether or not he was somebody who could make a good coach one day?
That never struck me. I didn't, you know, his behavior didn't suggest that maybe that was, and usually guys that are as accomplished as D-Hop don't go into coaching, especially right away, right? They go on, it's the proverbial bubble guys, the guys that had to fight for their jobs that get into coaching. So to see somebody as high profile and as successful as D-Hop, I mean, is he a Hall of Famer?
Sure.
He's borderline Hall of Famer. I mean, usually that profile player doesn't go into coaching, right?
He had five Pro Bowls.
He had
4 or 5 years of excellence, I think.
I always think a Hall of Famer is at least 4 to 6 years of an all pro where you're considered the best of your position, at least for a 5 year period. So, yeah. But D-Hop is a hell of a player. So I was surprised to hear when Mike said that. I was like, dude, he's going to, you know, I mean, wow. Okay. Who's Keyshawn Booty? Who are they letting go? But he's here to be a coach, which I think is really cool.
It's funny because I'm looking up some of his stats here, just trying to, because instantly I thought, yes, Hall of Famer, which is weird because doesn't have a ring. But I mean, I just remember, you know, it's the weirdest thing is you remember the guys that helped you win your fantasy league. and DeAndre Hopkins was like the king. Like if you had him, like you, it was almost like cheating. So he's had 1,000 career catches.
That's true.
Which is insane. And of all the, and I'm reading of all the eligible receivers who's reached that milestone, all but 3 are in Canton. He's also a 3 first time all pro, 5-time Pro Bowler, and sits 16th all time in receptions.
So 3-time all pro. So he's
3 all pro, 5 Pro Bowl.
Okay. Well, that's borderline. I'd say 4 is kind of, he's borderline. He's going to be a borderline Hall of Famer.
He's right there with Anquan Boldin, who's not in the Hall of Fame.
Which they have similar games.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins is never wide open.
Maybe, like, what about like Hines Ward? You know, that's kind of this. Yeah, very similar too.
I mean, not different players, but I mean similar catches, 1,000 catches.
Yeah. So yeah, that. But that's like I heard that. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Why is DeAndre Hopkins here? And I actually had to look up and see if he was still playing. I actually didn't even know he was on the Ravens last year. He only scored like 2 touchdowns, I believe. And I know he was there, but I just totally forgot that he was even on that team.
D-Hop's got a whole vibe, a whole feel, like he's a excellent dresser. He's got he's just got a presence about him. I think guys are going to gravitate to him. You'll notice him out there. He's sleek. He's just a hell of an athlete, man. He really is. And you know his style of play was he never was ever going to be open. He didn't separate. But if the ball was even close, he was going to fight for the ball and win any contested catch. That's just who he was.
Ted, by the way, it was just announced that apparently Andy Reid said that Patrick Mahomes has been fully cleared for practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Good luck. Good luck. It's going to be, hey, man, I mean, he needs some help. I don't know. I told you, Eric Bieniemy's back there as offensive coordinator. I think that's going to be a big difference, but, man.
What's the order of finish in that division between Denver, the Chargers, and the Chiefs?
I'm going to say Chargers are going to finish first.
Wow.
And then the Broncos and then the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, they're going to be better, but I don't know if they win 9 games this year. I mean, they only won 6 last year.
The receiving core is not good. I mean,
it's not.
You love Mike McDaniel. You love Mike McDaniel. Like you,
as an offensive coordinator, I know I'm kind of like you with Chad Tracy. Mike McDaniel as the offensive coordinator for Justin Herbert, I think it's going to be a big difference.
Oh, and somebody texted earlier, Rich, that McDaniel should get a 2 on the GWAR, the gut wins above replacement scale. And Ted is kind of wavering on that.
No, I don't think that's the bad, worst thing. He's one of the, I said seven players. If you want to add two coaches, Vrabel and add Josh, I'd be okay with that. If Vrabel's worth three, I'd say Josh is worth a game and a half.
Okay. You know what? I agree with you. I mean, I've obviously have a very strong opinion about him as a head coach, but yeah, as an offensive coordinator, one of the best in the game. Absolutely.
No question, man.
All right, 617-779-7937. It is time for Ken versus Everyone. If you are radio glory, if you are ready to go head-to-head with one Ken Laird to find out, really, who's the cock of the walk, give us a call, 617-779-7937. No prize.
Any hint of the category this week or no?
I never give a hint of the category.
Never.
I'm not
all
giving
right.
you an
all
edge.
Right.
Come on, man. It could be about anything.
It'd be the same edge for the caller. You might get a caller that knows about that subject that would want to call in. You know?
Nope. That's the beauty of it. It's going to be completely the I tell you it, and immediately we go into it. A random topic. Let's see if you can do it. 617-779-7937. We'll do that in 2 minutes.
Seven!